He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. So the kingdom of heaven is like blank. Have you ever read these verses in Matthew and been wondering what they mean? I know I spent a lot of time this week wondering what they meant. But hearing those words, the kingdom of heaven, that certainly grabs our attention, does it not? When we hear those words, we immediately pay close attention because we're all eager to know. Yes, Jesus, tell us what heaven is going to be like. From the time we become aware of our own mortality, we develop this strong curiosity about what comes next. There are some that would argue that nothing comes next, simply darkness and the loss of consciousness. Some of these people sometimes write to me, which is always a joy, and they ask me to convince them that God exists, that God is real, and that there is more to life than what they can see and feel and hear. But this is where it often becomes extremely difficult, because no matter how much I try to explain or show examples of how I feel God works in our world and within our lives, there always remains a gap between what we can describe in human terms and this 100% assurance proved by scientific principle or whatever else that God absolutely exists. And this gap can only be filled with one thing. Can you guess what it is? Faith. Faith. About 10 years ago, my wife Terry was a youth leader at our church in Virginia, and a group of the youth that we'd been working with over the years asked her to prove to them once and for all that God existed. Well, she's never one to step back from a challenge, but she told them right up front that it was not possible to do so. But she spent the next year working with these young people and talking about it. Each week, about 5 or 6 of these young people would come into our home and they'd gather, and she would present to them different cases, books, material that she had researched, present to them different theologians' explanations and arguments, and even real-life examples of how people's lives have been changed dramatically by their faith in God. But at the end of the year, they all realized and decided that it was not possible to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God existed. And they came to appreciate this thing called faith. And I'm pleased to say that the majority of those young people took that step of faith and believe and practice today in their Christian faith, wherever they may be. Now, our scripture today captures several statements where Jesus describes what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And like we so often have to do when we try to explain something that's very complex or difficult, he uses examples of things called metaphors, examples of things that they would understand to explain and describe something else. Some of the images he used would have been familiar. The tiny mustard seed, perhaps the smallest of all the seeds, you can barely see it in the palm of your hand. And this tiny, seemingly insignificant seed that once planted grows into a large bush And it seems to surpass all expectations of what you might get out of that small seed. And yeast, once you mix it with flour, it's virtually invisible. But it can create enough bread to feed a multitude. If the kingdom of heaven is like these things, then it may appear to us as small and insignificant, but have incredible potential that will surprise us and overwhelm us. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. I like that analogy. For us, we might be more familiar with something like a simple acorn. Down in Virginia, in the house that I own down there, we have a big white oak tree in front of the house. And every few years, that oak tree will dump a bumper crop of acorns. I've heard that the Farmer's Almanac predicts that in a year with a lot of acorns, it's going to be a hard winter. Have you heard that? I never did keep track of it to see if it were true. But this one oak will drop thousands upon thousands of acorns. And I'll go out there and rake them up. You got to rake them up quick because they root very quickly. But you rake them up, and I'd haul them down into the woods behind our house, and I'd put them down there, and the deer would come in and eat them. So we'd get to enjoy watching the deer. But it didn't seem to matter how often I did it. The following spring, I was always pulling up a lot of oak saplings. No matter how many times I picked them up, they came back. But once in a while, I'd stop and I'd pick up that acorn and I'd look at it. And then I'd look up at that massive oak tree. I don't know how tall it was. It was very tall, very big. I couldn't put my arms around it. It was so huge. And I'd just wonder at the extraordinary beauty of this tree, that it had come from something as small and apparently lifeless as that small acorn. See, that little acorn contained a kernel of life within it. Returning to our scriptures, Jesus then reels off a list of things that are like the kingdom of heaven, things that would have been common to the people listening. It's a method that Jesus used over and over through his descriptions and stories and parables, and they provide us with a wealth of both meaning and mystery. And we often are left scratching our heads over what it is Jesus was trying to say. Well, that's how it was for me this week. He said the kingdom of heaven was like a treasure buried in a field, and a man goes or finds it and then goes and sells all that he has in order to buy the field. And second, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value, and a man finds it and goes and sells all that he has to buy that one pearl. So these two parables are similar in that someone finds something else of great value, and then decides that it is worth more than everything else that they have. Each man realizes that all their other possessions are trivial in comparison to this one thing of great value. So is that what Jesus is trying to tell us today? Is that the kingdom of heaven? And then the final parable describes the kingdom of heaven as a great fishing net that is lowered down into the sea. And the net catches all kinds of fish, good fish and bad fish, and to a nod to Dr. Seuss, red fish and blue fish. If the kingdom of heaven is like this, then where are we? Are we the fish? If so, then the kingdom of heaven isn't something that we find. It's something that finds us and pulls us from the dark depths into the light. So as sometimes happens when I read scripture, I'm left confused or trying to figure out what it is. What's the message for us, Jesus, in these stories? But what I do typically is I read these scriptures early in the week, and I store them in my mind and in my heart, and I repeat them many times. And then I go about my daily work. And the best part is I pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the message for us each week. And I'm continually amazed at the way the Spirit works in my life. So as I looked at these parables, I decided to look for something that was common to all of them. And it occurred to me that each of these things, the treasure that's hidden in the field, the pearl of great value, the fish in the sea, even the yeast and the seeds, these are all things that are hidden. They all are hidden. The mustard seed or acorn is hidden in the ground. The yeast is hidden in the dough. The pearl is hidden among the other pearls. And the fish below the surface of the sea. If the kingdom of heaven is like these things, then it is likely not something that is readily apparent to us, but is something that is hidden but nearby, right in front of us perhaps, waiting to be discovered. And once discovered, will bring us immense joy. A couple years ago, I purchased an old mantel clock in an estate sale down in Virginia. Now, it was clear in the write-up for the clock that it didn't work, but I liked it. It was a pretty clock, and I went ahead and put a bid on it, and I bought that old clock for $75. Now, I didn't do anything with it. I just left it sitting and admired it some, but didn't put a lot of thought into it. Well, when we moved up here, I took it to a clockmaker or a repair place and to see if they could get it running. And the expert recognized it right away as one that was pretty uncommon. He said he'd only seen one other. And when he discovered that all the parts and the pieces were there, he got very excited by that. And he ended up taking that clock all apart. I got to see it when it was spread in a million pieces on his workbench. And I said, there's no way that's ever going back together. But he did. He tended it and he babied it like it was something valuable. And he put it back together, he cleaned it, and he oiled it properly. And then when he gave it back to me, he said, do you know what you have? I said, not really. He said, well, this clock is fairly rare, and it's worth probably over $1,200. And so I was surprised, of course, and pleased about that. It's not often that I purchase something for $75 and find out it's worth a lot more. Usually it's the other way. I buy something for a lot more and it turns out to be worthless. But that's, you know, that's investing 101, right? But if the kingdom of heaven is like this, then we also have very, very much to look forward to, don't we? The kingdom is realized when what was hidden is revealed. And we experience the joy and excitement of discovery, of celebrating something of extraordinary value that's right in front of us. Okay, well, despite all this, it sure would be nice to know where to find that mantle clock, wouldn't it? Where do we find this kingdom of heaven if it's right in front of us? Seems like a good place to look would be the church. Maybe we could dig up under the altar, see if there's something there. Or we could go to a magnificent cathedral. We have a young man here from England. They have beautiful cathedrals in England. And I always enjoyed going into those places and seeing them. Or maybe we could go to a medieval monastery. Or perhaps we could go into the slums of Calcutta, like Mother Teresa used to do, and look there for the seeds of heaven. But you know, I don't think it's that complicated. Throughout history, God has shown a tendency to take what is expected and predictable and flip it on its head. How else would you explain the ministry of Jesus Christ? He didn't fulfill any of the expectations of the people of the Jews. He turned it all on its head. Well, I love the suggestion of Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor. She's one of my favorite writers and pastors. And she writes that perhaps God has used one of the oldest tricks in the book, hiding the kingdom of heaven in plain view. Is it possible that the kingdom of heaven is right before us? Is it possible that it's not in any special or extraordinary place, but right within the ordinary circumstances of our daily lives? Like the precious pearl that's sitting there with all the other pearls out in the open. Or the old mantel clock sitting there at the auction amongst all the other furniture and assorted items that were for sale. Or perhaps it's the kingdom of heaven is with us even now. If only we take the time to recognize it in the everyday circumstances of life. Now, I know from talking to you that you have felt this as well. There are certain times when I have sensed something, a feeling perhaps in my heart, that defies explanation. The joy I feel at the laughter of a small child is one of those things. Listening to the treasured memories of an octogenarian, The beauty I see in a field of wildflowers. The joy, perhaps, on the faces of family members at a reunion. Even the heaping piles of produce at the vegetable stand this time of year. It awakens something within me. And here's one I love. The creaminess of the ice cream at the Penn State Creamery. You think the seed of heaven is there? It's certainly heavenly to eat the Penn State Creamery ice cream. Well, I believe that the seeds of heaven, whether they are in those things or not, are planted here within plain sight. And they can be found in the familiar, simple things of everyday life. These are the places we need to dig. These are the places we need to open our hearts and our minds to be aware of and look for those things that God intended when He created this earth and when He created us. These are the places where the seeds of heaven are sown. Well, throughout this month, I'm going to be talking more about the kingdom of heaven. I want to get us thinking about that, about how perhaps it's not something just to look forward to, but it's something that we are to look for and enjoy today, now, in our daily walk through life. And I pray that we'll be able to do that. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for sharing with us some of these glimpses of heaven, of where we can truly find your will, your power, your intention in the creation around us. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us, that we too might have eternal life with you. And we praise you and thank you that you walk with us each day. Open our eyes and hearts to see these things. In Christ's name, amen.